Today is Sunday, October 7th, 2007, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. A few people have asked if I would create audio files, so I thought I would talk about some of the recent events. On Friday, October 5th, 2007, Alex Jones interviewed one of the survivors of the USS Liberty. This particular survivor, Bryce Lockwood, was also given favorable publicity by many mainstream newspapers, such as the Baltimore Sun and the Chicago Tribune. The website military.com also carried this article, and Ray McGovern wrote about him also. If you know me very well, then you know that I have warned you that whenever the mainstream media gives somebody favorable publicity, there is something deceptive about it. You have to ask yourself, how would giving publicity to Bryce Lockwood help the Zionist movement? Lockwood is accusing Israel of deliberately attacking the ship and killing Americans, and he even accuses them of attacking the USS Liberty in order to cover up their slaughter of Egyptians. Why would the Zionists provide publicity to somebody making such incredible accusations? The answer seems to be in the interview with Alex Jones. There is a point at which Lockwood stops his criticism of Israel to point out that he doesn't hate the Israelis, and he believes Israel has a right to exist. And then Alex interrupts and talks about how he also loves Israel. Here is an excerpt.
Well, you know, I've been criticized because I don't hate Israel. I know most governments are corrupt throughout history. I'm a Christian, you know, brought up a Baptist. I'm really non-denominational now. And
Excuse me for interrupting, Alex, but I don't hate Israel. I really don't hate Israel. I really want your listeners to make sure of that. I think they have every right to exist.
Oh, no, let me stop you, sir. I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, I'm saying I'm brought up a Baptist. I'm brought up, you know, literally being taught to worship Israel at church. And I don't have Jewish friends. I know half the folks in Israel are against all these wars. But, yes, it's just like we've had criminal governments, just like Germany's had bad governments. It is not a sin, and you're a pastor, and so tell me if I'm correct, to say that to rebuke Israel when it's corrupt and evil. Isn't that what all the prophets did?
Exactly. Exactly. And they should be rebuked very strenuously for the war crimes that they've committed against the people of Lebanon, against the United Arab Republic back in the Six Days War in 1967.
My guess is that the information about the attack on the USS Liberty is getting out all over the world, and the Zionists are now doing to this issue what they did to 9/11. After my book and video about 9/11 came out, the Zionists began promoting other people's books and video, such as those from Dave Von Kleist, Dylan Avery, David Ray Griffin, and Professor Stephen Jones. They don't want me to expose their crimes because I don't support them. Supporters of Israel, the Rothschilds, and other groups are trying to expose the 9/11 crime so that they can deflect attention away from whichever group they're trying to protect. The Zionists are in a very desperate situation right now. There are millions of people around the world investigating everything, such as the USS Liberty attack, the Crusades, the banking system, Abraham Lincoln, and the Holocaust. They can't stop millions of people from using the internet, the CD-ROMs, and the DVDs to expose Zionist crimes. The only way they can protect themselves is to let their own people expose their crimes. This will allow them to shift the blame to a few people that they're willing to sacrifice, such as President Lyndon Johnson, David Rockefeller, and George Bush. And at the same time, they can tell us how much they love Israel and how much Israel has a right to exist. However, this trick won't work if enough people understand how it works. Before I continue with the USS Liberty attack, I received another phone call from Christopher Bolin near the end of September, so that makes the third phone call I've received from him. But, as with those other two phone calls, he won't tell me where he is or even which continent he's on, and he won't say much of anything else. All he tries to do is convince me that he's doing fine and that I should stop saying that he might be in trouble. I asked him to do an interview and tell people for himself, but he won't do that either. As with the other two phone calls, the phone disconnects abruptly after a few minutes for no apparent reason. J. Jan Gilberg told Daryl Smith and other people that Christopher Bolin called me many times from his house in Sweden, but Gilberg is lying. Gilberg claims to have phone records to prove it, but he won't show us the phone records. The people in Sweden should investigate Jan Gilberg and all of his associates. The issue of Christopher Bolin is very significant. Unlike the majority of people, the Zionists don't spend hours lounging in front of a television set and stuffing themselves with industrial food. They actively pursue everybody who opposes them. They search your history to find something they can blackmail you with, and if they can't find something in your past, they'll try to arrange something for you to be embarrassing or illegal. They'll try to trick you into making nasty remarks about other races, religions, or homosexuals so that they can make you look bad. And they'll try to get fights going between you and other people. They are relentless in pursuing us. You can tell when they catch somebody because that person will abruptly disappear or change for no apparent reason. They haven't been able to find anything in my past to use against me, and they haven't been able to trick me into anything. And apparently they had the same problem with Christopher Bolin, which is why they had to resort to kidnapping him. There are accusations that Bolin is actually a Zionist agent, and that his disappearance is a trick, but if his disappearance is intended to help Israel, it's a stupid trick that is failing. His disappearance has helped a lot of people realize that this truth movement is much more infiltrated than they had ever imagined. His disappearance actually shows how desperate the Zionists must be. During 2002 and 2003, they didn't care if Bolin or I were interviewed on radio shows or spoke at meetings. But today, everybody pretends we don't exist. They also didn't bother trying to expose 9/11 in 2002. Today, look at how many 9/11 truth groups are controlled by these Zionists. Almost every 9/11 group is controlled by them, and they're creating more of them all the time. And the existing groups are growing larger. These are all signs that they are worrying. However, their attempt to dominate the truth movement is identifying them, so they are taking a very big risk. For example, look at patriotsquestion911.com. Their website is the two words, Patriots Question, and then the digits 911, and then .com. There are hundreds of people in this group, and it's still growing. It's possible that some of the members are naive, innocent people who don't know what they've become a member of. But you should assume everybody on this list is a Zionist agent, and assume they are all dangerous. The same is true with Richard Gage and his Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Every one of those people should be considered a Zionist agent. Christopher Bolin trusted some people, such as Linda Shelton, because he believed her story that she was a victim of the corrupt Chicago court system and that she wanted to help him. Bolin also trusted Professor Stephen Jones. If you make a mistake about who to trust, it could be your last mistake. So take a look at who is in this truth movement and avoid every one of them. Professor Jones is part of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and he's also part of Patriots Question 9/11. Professor Chofsadovsky and Karen Kwiatkowski are also part of Patriots Question 9/11. Daryl Smith assumes that those two can be trusted, but what if Smith is wrong about them? What if both of them are on this list because they're only pretending to oppose Zionism? Why should you take the chance? You gain nothing by trusting them. My advice is be careful trusting everybody in this so-called truth movement. Furthermore, if you purchase their books or videos, and if they're part of the Zionist crime network, that means you just gave your name, address, and credit card information to them. Getting back to Alex Jones and his interview with the survivor of the USS Liberty attack, both Jones and Lockwood suggest that we rebuke Israel. How does rebuking Israel for attacking the USS Liberty make the world a better place, or improve America, or give us a more honest media? How does it improve our banking system or our schools? And why don't we rebuke them for lying about the Holocaust, or starting the world wars, or killing millions of people with their communist revolutions? And how about rebuking them for their manipulation of the banking system? Should we rebuke them for causing Christopher Bolin's family to disappear? Can you see what's going on? Jones and Lockwood want us to rebuke Israel, and only for a few minor crimes. Neither of them want us to do something that might actually deal with this problem nation. Compare the suggestions from Jones and Lockwood to those from other people. The Iranian president has suggested moving Israel to some other nation, such as Canada, Alaska, or Europe. Some people suggest nuking Israel, and others suggest sending the Israelis back to whichever country they came from. Some people suggest making the Israelis give back some of their land to the Palestinians, and then telling both the Palestinians and Israelis to accept what they've got, stay within their borders, and deal with it. Some people suggest cutting off all funding and support for Israel and letting them take care of themselves, which would force them to cooperate with the Arabs. There are hundreds of suggestions on what to do with Israel, but rebuking Israel is one of the most useless solutions to this problem. This would explain why the Chicago Tribune and so many other people are promoting Lockwood. Some people claim that Israel has a right to exist. However, a nation is just another organization of people, like a business, a sports team, and a symphony. If Israel has the right to exist, then so does every other nation and organization, including a nation of Palestinian Arabs. And if Israel has a right to exist, why don't I also have a right to my own nation? The Zionist Jews have been murdering, deceiving, and abusing people for centuries. They've caused tremendous wars, pollution, suffering, and misery. If these abusive people have a right to their own nation, why don't I have a right to my own nation? Why should we reward the most horrible behavior? Of course, from the point of view of the Zionists, they're not horrible at all. They see themselves as the superior race, the chosen people. They believe they are improving the world by conquering and eliminating the stupid goyim. However, they're not conquering or exterminating us. They're only causing suffering and misery. Some people wonder if they created the SARS disease to exterminate the Chinese. If they did, they didn't kill very many Chinese. Of course, that outbreak in 2003 may have been just a test to see how the disease works under real conditions. Perhaps they're planning on releasing an improved version later. If the Israelis achieve their goal of exterminating us, then they'll certainly boast that their success in creating a Jewish world is proof that they really are the smarter and better people. However, they have been struggling for centuries to get control of the world, and they have failed every time. All they have accomplished so far is misery, war, pollution, and suffering. They might think of themselves as the superior race of humans who are getting rid of the stupid Neanderthals, but as of today, it is them who appear to be the psychotic, defective humans. Today, they have almost total control of America, Canada, and Europe, and this could create the impression that they're getting close to achieving their goal of world conquest. But that doesn't guarantee that they will have control of us next year. It is entirely possible that there are enough Americans and Europeans with the courage and intelligence to defeat them. What's even worse for them is that China, India, and Japan are not going to be as easy for them to dominate and exterminate. The Asians are a different race, and that prevents the Zionist Jews from infiltrating their organizations. Jews are physically similar to Caucasians and Arabs, so it's easy for them to infiltrate our organizations. Some Jews have even altered their noses to make them look more like us. However, there's no Jews that look like Chinese, Japanese, or Indians. And there's no surgery yet that can turn a Jew into a Chinese. Therefore, the Israelis cannot secretly infiltrate those nations. This means that the only way they can get control of those nations is through bribery, blackmail, and deception. That is not an easy way to get control of a large nation. The Zionists have created a giant gambling and prostitution area in Macau, China, and I suppose they plan to use that area to entice Chinese and Japanese into doing illegal or embarrassing activities that they can be blackmailed over. However, even if they do find thousands of people to bribe and blackmail, that is not an effective way of controlling a nation. Furthermore, the Chinese government could shut down or take control of Macau if they ever figure out that they're being taken advantage of. I find it difficult to believe that Israel is going to be able to get control of China, Japan, and India. Furthermore, even if there are not enough Americans and Europeans to overpower the Zionists may lose control of both America and Europe. There are some changes going on right now that could dramatically alter the situation for Zionism. The Zionists seem to be encouraging poor people to immigrate into America and Europe as a way to break down our nations. But this trick can backfire on the Zionists because these immigrants don't have much of an interest in Israel. Millions of people are coming into America from Mexico and Central America every year, and from a few other nations, but most of them are poor and uneducated. And even though most of them are Catholic, they don't have much of an interest in fighting wars for Israel or giving money to Israel. Europe is getting a lot of Muslim immigrants, and they don't have any interest in Israel either. In Southern California, where I live, it seems that half the population is speaking Spanish. This group will soon dominate America, and they are likely to stop payments to Israel and stop the wars. It's also interesting to note that only a few of the immigrants to America try to stop us from talking about 9/11, the Holocaust, the Apollo moon landing, and other crimes. Most of the resistance I encounter comes from Caucasians who believe it is their duty as a Christian to protect Israel. Even though the immigrants from Mexico and Central America are Catholic, they don't feel a need to stop other people from discussing historical events. Therefore, when they get control of America, they are not likely to support laws that put people in jail for talking about the Holocaust or other issues. I think the Zionists have made a very big mistake. They are destroying America and Europe before they are ready to survive on their own. They need us for money and protection right now. But they are like greedy fleas that are sucking so much blood from their host that they kill their only source of food. Another very big problem for the Zionists is that America is losing its engineering and manufacturing abilities. We are told that our economy is doing great, but take a close look at the reports and you will see that the new jobs are mainly in government, education, insurance, and health care. While it is theoretically possible for people in government to do something useful, that's not what's happening here in America. Most of the new jobs are parasitic. They require more taxes, increases in school tuition, higher insurance costs, higher medical bills, and in return, the nation gets nothing from these worthless people. America is becoming a primitive nation, and that's a problem for Zionism because we are currently providing Israel with billions of dollars every year, and the American military has bases in Europe to intimidate the Europeans and prevent them from complaining about Israel, as well as prevent them from talking about the Holocaust and the wars in the Middle East. America is Israel's attack dog. But as America deteriorates into a primitive nation, it will eventually reach the point at which it can no longer maintain an advanced military and can no longer afford to protect Israel. As America deteriorates, Israel will lose its only friend and its only source of support. What will Germany do when America starts closing their military bases in Germany? Will they start talking about the world wars and the Holocaust, the Apollo moon landing, the Crusades, the banking system, and other issues? Who's going to stop them from talking about these issues? Who's going to protect the Rothschilds and the banking families? You may think, well, the Rothschilds have nothing to worry about because they survived for centuries and they have lots of money to bribe and hire us. But the situation today is different. The internet, the CD-ROMs, and the DVDs are allowing people to learn about the Rothschilds, about Zionism, about the Holocaust, the Crusades, and even the Knights Templar. Every day, more people realize that a group of people have been abusing the world for centuries. We refer to them as Zionists for lack of a better name. Who knows what they call themselves? Although we can't predict the future, it doesn't take much intelligence to realize that the disgust and anger towards the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, Israelis, and other Zionists will be even more intense next year, and it will become even more intense the year after that. And it doesn't take much intelligence to realize that America will have even less manufacturing next year, and even higher taxes, and higher tuition. America will also have more immigrants from Mexico and South America who don't care about Israel. The trend is rather obvious. Israel is losing its only friend and its attack dog, and the rest of the world is becoming increasingly angry and disgusted with these people. How is Israel going to survive in a world that hates it? How are the Rothschilds going to survive? Some people say that Israel has lots of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. But they're not going to use any of them. If they dared to attack us with such weapons, it would make it very easy for people to justify the complete extermination of every Jew once and for all. Furthermore, the situation in China and Japan is very serious. If it's true that Israelis are developing SARS to exterminate the Chinese, why would the Chinese allow this nation to exist? The Chinese would be foolish to let the Israelis exist. Especially when you consider that this group of Zionist Jews has a history of lying and deception for centuries. Israel might promise to destroy all of their biological and nuclear weapons, but why should we trust them? The Japanese and Indians should also wonder if Israel is working on a disease to kill them. The Chinese have a long history of leaving other people alone, but the Zionist Jews have a history of infiltrating other societies, abusing them, lying to them, and instigating wars. Why would the Chinese want to take the chance that such a diabolical group of people would suddenly behave in a respectable manner? If you were Chinese, would you want to take that chance? Would you want to believe that Israel will just suddenly stop their secret development of diseases? From the point of view of the Asians, the best solution to the Israeli problem is to get rid of Israel, perhaps by sending the Israelis back to the nations they came from. And if the Israelis dared to use any nuclear biological weapons, kill all of them. Don't fool around with these people. The Arabs are in a similar dilemma as with the Chinese. The Arabs have been lied to repeatedly by Israelis. So why would any of them trust the Israelis to suddenly become honest and lovable? The Russians and the Germans have also been abused by Zionist Jews to an unbelievable extent. They would also be fools to trust the Israelis. The Internet is allowing people all over the world to look into historical events. As we learn more about the Crusades, the banking system, the slave trade, the creation of America, the Civil War in America, the Communist movement, pornography, gambling, pedophilia, the Catholic Church, the Holocaust, and others, we discover that Zionist Jews have been playing a larger role in all of these problems than we had ever imagined. The Internet is not helping Zionism. It is allowing us to learn about and expose Zionism. It is showing us that they are more atrocious, diabolical, and treacherous than we had ever imagined. Why would we want this nation of Israel to exist? Why would we want these Rothschilds to continue to exist? Why would we want these people to have their own hiding place in their own nation to plot more diabolical wars, crimes, and diseases? Why should we take the chance that they're going to stop the development of SARS, or the disease of honeybees, or a bird flu? They have been trying to exterminate and control us for centuries. And why should we believe they're going to suddenly change and suddenly become our friends? It doesn't make any sense to say that a nation has a right to exist. It makes more sense to say that all people, businesses, schools, and nations have a responsibility to behave in a respectable manner. We don't owe anything to any person or any group of people. It would make more sense to say everybody has a responsibility to behave in a respectable manner. We are fools to let people and organizations abuse us, and we are fools to let a nation as treacherous and disgusting as Israel continue to exist and abuse us. They don't even want to exist with us. They want to dominate and exterminate us. We are fools to let them continue with their psychotic religious fantasy of recreating Israel. So don't be intimidated or tricked by all of these truth seekers who are coming out right now to protect Israel. Don't be fooled into thinking Ron Paul is going to save you. the only way we're going to save this world is to get rid of Israel, Zionism, the Rothschilds, and all of their associates. Well, that's my little talk for today. I hope you all enjoyed it. Bye.